You're listening to The Andy Finn Show, centrally located in America, on the TAFS Radio Network.
We are back on The Andy Finn Show, and you know, there was a book out a few years ago entitled Bush's Brain, and it really was a tribute to Karl Rove and how good he is at winning elections. And it's not fair to call him Bush's brain, because we're still looking for it. But in the case of Bush's brain, if really, I think the prime mover behind George W. Bush is Dick Cheney. As we said in the first segment, Bush chose Cheney. Instead of choosing someone from his list of vice presidents that Cheney put together, Bush asked Cheney to be vice president. And Cheney, it turns out, has been relying on Henry Kissinger for advice for much of this administration. So here's a direct quote from the Woodward book. Actually, he quotes Vice President Cheney telling Woodward in the summer of 2005, quote, "Of the outside people that I talked to in this job, I probably talked to Henry Kissinger more than I talked to anybody else. He just comes by, and I guess at least once a month, Scooter," this is back when Scooter was his chief of staff, "and I sit down with him." Now, the president also met privately with Kissinger every couple of months, which makes him also Bush's main outside advisor on foreign affairs. And so Kissinger, it turns out, is giving Cheney and Bush advice to essentially say that you don't want this thing to be Vietnam. And here's the problem with Vietnam. We could have won Vietnam. We had the war, essentially won in 72, only to lose it because of the weakened resolve of the public and Congress. So with this logic, you stay the course in Iraq because you don't want to have happen in Vietnam what happened in Vietnam. So let me set the record straight. I was alive and at draft age when Vietnam happened, and I watched Vietnam happen from the safety of the college campus where people were exploding ROTC buildings and occasionally, or at least once, National Guard troops were gunning down students. That's how fierce the protests got during that war. And to say, and there's a whole conservative camp out here, I hear it from on talk radio, but I'm surprised Henry Kissinger still believes that that war was winnable. We talked in the first segment about the nature of insurgencies, the nature of civil wars. You cannot go into another country and expect to control the people or even have them sit still while you erect the kind of government you think they should have. We wouldn't accept that as Americans. And you say, well, we're feisty Americans, we're independent, but these other people. No, that's not treating them with respect. Every country has nationalism, and we always underestimate that. We're the flag waving as people going, and we're the only country in the world where people say we are the greatest country in the world. Actually, North Korea might say that too. Now, they're more delusional about it because there's no way that they're the best. They might be the worst off in the world. But the U.S. has this certain privilege and standing that it accords itself. And so when it comes to something like Vietnam, Kissinger assumes we could have won it. You know, and it's funny how he says we had the war won in 72. Here's what was going on in Vietnam. The North Vietnamese were going to take over the South. They were winning. But even with us spraying Agent Orange and having helicopters and planes and bombing the Ho Chi Minh supply trail and everything, we couldn't stop it because they were being helped by China, and the Vietnamese themselves were formidable. So they were going to get control of the South eventually. Nixon started bombing. Now, Nixon got elected in 1968 and promised to end the war. Henry Kissinger became his Secretary of State and did all the shuttle diplomacy, and he not only handled Vietnam, Henry Kissinger handled the Soviet onion, and peeled back the layers, and talked to Brezhnev. I don't want to go too far with that metaphor. But the problem was that Vietnam was not the kind of situation that you're ever going to win. So Nixon finds himself in Vietnam. He's promised to get us out, but he's not going to cut and run. You can't in America. So Nixon came up with the expression, "We will have peace with honor and never peace with surrender." I heard that out of his mouth many times. And peace with honor for him was an agreement. He wanted a piece of paper signed. So they started the Paris Peace Accords, and Kissinger went and they argued over the size of the tables for a while. That's not a joke that just from a MASH episode, that really happened, used to happen while wars were being fought, including Vietnam. And Nixon bombed the H out of Vietnam. We bombed Vietnam, we bombed Cambodia. We said we are going to bomb them until they come to the table and sign an agreement. And so they did. They said, Uncle, you want us to sign a piece of paper? We'll sign a piece of paper. You start your withdrawal. Nixon had been withdrawing because the reason there were so many protests is we had a draft. And I was draft age. And so anybody who's draft age and doesn't want to go, they are motivated to get out there and wave a sign in ways that people aren't today. So the youth of America, that's why it took place on college campuses, the youth of America was not that interested in war. I'm so surprised. Anyway, the principle, the idea that it was the protest back home that weakened Americans' will, and it was television showing the killing every night, well, it's true those things had an effect, and they've learned now to keep the killing off of television. They don't allow pictures of the flag-draped coffins coming back, because that's a private moment for the families. But they know that those pictures and those television images are death to war. So it's being managed as best they can manage it, but the bottom line is nobody likes war. What a surprise, right? But it's just interesting to me that Kissinger's view is they had won, because what we did was, it was really unconscionable what Nixon did. He could have got the same deal Ford got us out in 75, but he could have got the same deal. Nixon could have got the same deal he got in 72, if it was, or 70. Yeah, it was really early 73. He could have got the same deal several years earlier and saved thousands of lives, but he wanted peace with honor. And so we bombed the hell out of them until they came to the peace table and said, Uncle, we'll sign the paper, just go. And then the North, it took them two years to take over. And a lot of people don't remember this, but the original October surprise before an election, right? It's the Republicans, I always hear the talk show host complaining that, oh, the Democrats are going to have an October surprise. But in fact, Henry Kissinger pulled the original and biggest October surprise in my lifetime. And that was 3 days before the presidential election of 1972. Henry Kissinger said, peace is at hand. Those were the headlines on the paper. He came out of a meeting in Paris and said, we've got a peace agreement. And what the agreement was, the U.S. will pull out and the North will respect the boundaries. Well, the U.S. pulled out, the North didn't respect the boundaries. So to this day, conservatives say, well, they didn't live up to the bargain. But they just said what they had to get Nixon to stop bombing them. So this idea that Vietnam was winnable, no, the generals knew it wasn't winnable. That's the dirty little secret. And Robert McNamara knew it wasn't winnable. So, Mike, I've talked about on this show before about Robert McNamara's 10 rules, lessons he learned from Vietnam. He came out of this humbled, and I believe Kennedy's people, the best and the brightest, came out humbled. I believe the Democrats came out of the Vietnam War humbled about the use and misuse of American military power, because we thought we could do anything. We thought that our military is so powerful, we could impose our will anywhere in the world. And what we learned in Vietnam, what the Democrats learned in Vietnam, is that that's not so. And the reason I think the Democrats learned this lesson was, it was, you know, the advisors went over under Eisenhower, but this clearly belongs to the Kennedy-Johnson administration, those 8 years. Nixon inherited the war. Nobody had a good exit strategy, so, you know, I can complain with him pulling out, but it was the Democrats that got us in. They're the ones that learned the lesson. And so when people say they're soft on defense, actually, they would just as soon not see us misuse our military, for one thing. And so they don't want to get involved overseas as much as Republicans and conservatives seem willing to go over there and bomb somebody to teach them a lesson. You know, war is hell. And you don't really know that unless you've been there. Now, I've not been there, but I believe the people who have been there and who say it's hell. And so I wouldn't go to hell on a whim. I'd be real careful about going to hell and imposing it on other people and other people's children. And that's where the phrase chicken hawk comes from. A lot of these people that are so hawkish about war have never been in the military. And so they don't really know of what they speak. So back to the Kissinger scene. What's interesting is that Cheney relies on Kissinger. Kissinger oversaw this failed policy, but he believed in his heart of hearts that that his decision was right. They were on the right course. If only the liberal media, and Kissinger doesn't talk in those terms, but certainly Cheney would, if only the liberal media and the mamby-pamby college students that weren't willing to go over there and fight, if only they hadn't taken control of the debate at home, we'd have won Vietnam. No, I think Bill Murray said it best in Stripes, we're the United States of America. We're 10-1. And, you know, we did lose that war, and it wasn't because, it's true, we didn't use nuclear weapons, but nuclear weapons are not an option, my fellow Americans, you conservatives out there. Even this president isn't going to nuke Iran. If he uses bunker busters before he gets out of office because he thinks the next guy won't be manly enough to go after Iran, he won't use nukes. Nukes are out of the question. So nukes were not an option in Vietnam. What else could we have done? More planes, more bombs? No, you do not beat a native people on their own soil. You can win home, you can win away games in the NFL, in the NBA, in the NHL, in Major League Baseball. You cannot win away games when you're in somebody else's homeland and the game is war. You just don't win those. You cannot impose your will on whole peoples. It just doesn't work.
They don't like that too much.
We wouldn't either, but we think we're special. So we think, well, we wouldn't like it. Of course, we'd reject it and wouldn't allow it. But these other people, they'll be okay with it because our heart's in the right place. No, that's not how they see it when you come in with the guns blazing. That's just the way it is. So when we come back, we'll move on to the second piece of this, which is the whole debate within the administration that Bob Woodward reports on. Should Rummy stay or should he go? Should he stay or should he go?
Well, you know my theory. It's the 20% of the people on the far right and 20% on the far left that are ruining this country for the rest of us. We deserve better.
The Andy Finn Show. Something special in the airwaves.
We deserve better. We deserve better.
WEBR Fairfax Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit public access radio station, a service of Fairfax Public Access and Cox Communications. Fairfax's own freeform station.